Welcome to RSN 927's Breakfast Bite.
Good morning, everyone. Andrew Bates with you for this Wednesday morning edition of The Breakfast Bite, May 22nd of 2019. Plenty of sporting news and a bit of live sport last night as well to update you on too. Let's start with the footy world. We'll start down at Essendon. Not good news yesterday with Devon Smith being ruled out for the rest of the season.
Very disappointed that he's not going to be playing footy the remainder of this year. We're disappointed for him. We're really keen that he gets his knee fixed so he plays good footy for a lot longer.
That is a devastating blow for the Dons. Meanwhile, Anthony McDonald, Tip and Woody is looking forward to Indigenous round. Can he light it up on Saturday night?
A privilege for me to come and play on this round and for other Indigenous players. I guess to have an Indigenous round is it's an honour to be a part of. So, yeah, I'm happy to go out there and show my talent and inspire other kids to, if they want to, I guess, play AFL and one day play on this round.
One of the best rounds of footy all year. Indigenous round this weekend, and we'll be focusing in on Saturday night as well when Essendon face Richmond at the MCG for Dreamtime at the G. Meanwhile, bit of live sport last night. We'll update you on that next on RSN 927's Breakfast Bite.
You're listening to RSN 927's Breakfast Bite.
Don't forget, Breakfast Club returns after 6 this morning. Half Whitey and Sherelle to take you through your Wednesday morning. Lots to get through too. Looking forward to chatting to Taylor Adams. The Collingwood vice captain will be inside the inner sanctum from 7 o'clock. Will he or won't he play this week? He'll tell us when he heads in studio after 7. Mark Stevens from Channel 7 with all the latest footy news plus his 4 points as well. He'll join us from 7:30. Make sure you get involved there. Have a read of his piece, which always goes up on the RSN 927 website on a Tuesday night, rsn.net.au. Have your say. And David Gallup, the FFA CEO, to join us after 8 o'clock this morning. The FFA yesterday announcing that they are going to put in a bid for the 2023 Women's FIFA World Cup, which would be a massive tournament to have on our shores. Hopefully it goes better than our men's bid. David Gallup will chat to us about that after 8 this morning. Let's start, though, with the footy news from yesterday. And as you heard off the top, John Worsfold revealing that Devon Smith will be out for the rest of the season. He does require surgery on that knee of his, which has troubled him at the start of this year already. Here's more from the coach.
We were aware he had a PCL injury. A lot of players have played out careers with PCL injuries in the past, so you never know what comes. Sometimes these new injuries, are they related to the original PCL injury, or would he have got them anyway? I can't answer those questions. It's disappointing for him. He's very disappointed that he's not going to be playing footy the remainder of this year. We're disappointed for him, but we're really keen that he gets his knee fixed so he plays good footy for a lot longer.
Other news coming out of last night was Dale Thomas. His visit to the tribunal ended up with a $7,500 fine, so pretty hefty penalty there for Dale Thomas. Let's have a listen to what he had to say after accepting that sanction.
Yeah, well, firstly, I'm extremely apologetic for the way in which I acted, the words in which I used and how I spoke to umpire Barlow. I reached out to him today to issue that apology and spoke to him on the phone, and he accepted that quite well. So again, it was tremendously unfortunate that I put myself in that position. I'm really disappointed in myself for doing that. Umpires are an amazing part of our game. Without them, we wouldn't have a game, and for me to do that as an experienced player does not set a good example. I put my hand up to that, hence the guilty plea in there, and the sanction that's accompanied that. So we move on now. I look forward to Sunday's game, and there'll be no more of this in the future, hopefully.
Meanwhile, the Blues face further sanction. Now, this is not a joke. After the AFL sent a please explain for their cheer squad chanting, "Umpire, you're a W-er," at the Collingwood game in round 8. So they've got to respond to that. We'll wait to see how that develops. Some bizarre things happening in the footy world lately. Now to Jordan Lewis. He had his say on Fox Footy last night on the Dale Thomas sanction.
The thing I think about is no one would premeditate that they're going to say that to an umpire. Now, I don't know why Daisy said that, but it would just be an off-the-cuff, spur-of-the-moment thing that he would regret, and we've heard that he regrets it. Now, we can't... It's like cricket. As soon as they brought in the stump mics, stuff gets set out in the field and there is probably no meaning to it whatsoever. So it is hard from a player's point of view to be so in the moment and so competitive and then a decision goes some way and then have to think about what you're about to say. I think it's unreasonable to be put in that position and I don't think this is fair. And it would have, things like this would have happened 1,000 times over just this season, let alone the whole entirety of the AFL. So he's, I think he's been hard done by.
Jordan Lewis there. I'm sure we'll hear a little bit more reaction later on today from a few players regarding that fine. Meanwhile, Ivan Soldo last night didn't get off his striking offence, so he will be out of this week's Dreamtime at the G, which leaves the Tigers a little bit short in the ruck. Looks like we'll have to see Noah Bolter back there on Saturday night. To Harry Mackay now from the Blues. Now, he was 40 minutes late for his press conference yesterday. Why? Because the players had a player-only meeting, he explained further.
Obviously, when you don't bring effort and the compete's not strong on the weekend, that's what you've got to really got to challenge. Sometimes when you have close losses and you play some good footy, it's more system-based, but this is really like looking guys in the eye and, yeah, talking about the effort side of things, and that's something you've got to bring every week. So when it's not there, that's when you get to go to challenge it, yeah. Obviously, it was driven from Cripper and Doc, but the whole playing group bought in, and that's what it's got to be. It can't just be one or two people. So, yeah, the whole group said what they thought, and, yeah, we're really looking forward to the weekend, yeah. Obviously, spoke about we can't afford a big loss before we bounce back and have a really good week, so we can't, yeah, let the media drive us. It's got to come from within, and we talked about what drives us as individuals and what drives us as a group. So, yeah, we can't afford another loss before we bounce back. So being more consistent with that, our preparation going into games and making sure our mindset's really on, doesn't matter what the week before looks like. But, yeah, on the weekend, we're all in it together. Like, I don't think... So as playing group, we're feeling just as much pressure as Bolts would, just as any other assistant coach, as the football department. Like, we're all in it together. We're all representing the Carlton Football Club. And as I said, we're working really hard to make sure we're playing some good footy and don't dish up what we do on the weekend.
Harry Mackay there speaking yesterday. The Blues take on St Kilda on Sunday afternoon at 3:20. Interesting to see their response at Marvel Stadium. To the Hawks now. Sean Burgoyne, he's not worried about following in the footsteps of Jared Raffett and possibly being dropped. In fact, he even flagged that he might go on another year. Here he was, the Hawthorn veteran, speaking yesterday.
Every year there's going to be new players coming in vying for your spot. You need competition for spots, whether they're the oldest player on the list, that's me, or you got the youngest player. You need competition. You need players in the VFL challenging the guys in the AFL to play better, to hold them accountable to the standards we want. And at some stage, we'll all retire and move on and have a tough patch of form and maybe go back to the VFL. And we're seeing at the moment with Ruffy going back, and he's fighting pretty hard. He wants to make a contribution to the team. So it's going to happen every week and every year. It's just the way footy is. So as long as you're playing your role, doing the team things, and at some stage, I will retire and I'll step away and someone else will take my spot. But yeah, when that happens, I'll deal with it like the rest of the players will. Potentially, that's been potentially for the last 6 or 7 years. I actually don't know when I'm going to retire, to be honest. It could be this week after this game if I cop a serious injury. So I'm very realistic. I've been realistic, you know, my whole career at Hawthorn. In terms of, I don't know how long I'm going to play for. And I've had conversations with Clarko all the time, my managers, and conversations with the club. And I know where I sit. So whether I last the end of the year or go next year as well, it's totally up in the air.
Wouldn't it be awesome to see Sean Burgoyne go around again? Certainly one of the generational players we've seen over the last 20 years. Let's head to Charlie Cameron now. He says yesterday, or said yesterday, he's got a little bit of extra motivation against the Crows. This might be spicy.
I remember some comments from my exit review with Don Pike and a few other coaches that really stuck out, and I try to prove. I remember those comments, but I don't want to say it here. But I remember what they said, and it drives me to, I guess, prove them wrong, yeah.
Very interesting bit of extra motivation he had last week in that one-point victory. The Brisbane Lions this week will be heading to Fremantle. They take on the Dockers at Optus Stadium in the final game of the round. More from the footy world to come shortly, but let's now head to the cricket world where there's a bit of news from overnight. We'll start with Mitchell Starc, who has returned to bowling a little more often over the last couple of months, coming back from injury. He's been working on that in-swinger. This is what he had to say overnight.
Well, I haven't played an official ODI since November, so it's been a while. But yeah, that time through Brisbane and here in the last few days at Whitgift has been nice to, as I said before, have those little, changes in cues and focuses, which have seen that in-swinger come back in the, more consistently for me, which it's been at different stages the last few years. It's come and gone. And, having those 3 months to focus on certain things, which are going to help that, hopefully, be more consistent. At the moment, it's going quite well, but it's all about the consistency, and hopefully it's going to be consistent throughout the World Cup first and foremost.
Mitchell Starc also spoke about settling into those English conditions. How's he going?
Yeah, good. It's been nice to have that hit out at Whitgift and get accustomed to some English conditions for those of us who haven't been here for a little while. Obviously, a few guys came over last year for that series over here, and a few guys from county cricket. So for those of us who haven't been here for a little while, it was nice to get back in the groove of English cricket conditions, have a bit of a bowl and a bat and get some time on the legs.
And physically, how are you tracking?
Yeah, really good. It's been a nice little lead-in, through Brisbane, having a little trip to Gallipoli where we didn't play any cricket. And then getting into work here in the UK and another training session today with three of our practice games coming up which will be really important heading into that first game.
To Adam Gilchrist now, he thinks the Aussies will be feared over in the UK.
Which I'm not sure we start as the underdogs. I reckon teams would be looking at us pretty fearful. I really believe we start as one of the favourite teams. But whether that helps us or not or puts pressure on our guys, I don't know. I don't think Justin would relish either way. But he doesn't have to play. He's not the one having to go out there and do it. So you'd have to ask the players. I don't think anyone puts too much thought into that. I'd never walk out into any game going, we are definitely favourites. Because it guarantees nothing. There's a lot of discussion about what the reception will be for Smithy and Davey. And we all know what that's going to be. And they expect it. And I think the quicker that's played out, the better. Yep. And then if they get results, that'll be white noise in the background. The challenge will be if they're not getting the results and whether they can keep that as white noise or whether it starts to cloud your judgment and your decision making. So that's a challenge. Everyone's aware of it. So it'll be interesting to see how that unfolds. But they'll be well prepared for it.
Adam Gilchrist on Fox Sports yesterday. Let's finish with cricket with Mark Waugh, who also spoke at the Fox Sports World Cup launch yesterday, talking about how we might see a hell of a lot of runs in this World Cup.
I think this World Cup will be a high-scoring World Cup. The 99 World Cup, we used a different ball. I think we used a juke ball, or it definitely wasn't a kookaburra. So you got kookaburra balls used in this World Cup, and they tend to, suit the batsmen more than the bowlers. I think the pitches are going to be pretty dry. I think it's going to be a really high-scoring World Cup, probably opposite to 99, actually.
Time for a break on RSN 927. On the other side of this, we will update you on that live sport from overnight. Sydney FC in action in the Asian Champions League, plus a little bit of NRL, NBA from yesterday, and the rest of your footy news. It's 11 to 6.
This is The Breakfast Bite.
Leandro Daniel squaring it up. Might be a chance to shoot here. Oh, it's a beautiful opening goal. Curled in by Yoshitsu Wakizaka. And Kawasaki Frontale's early pressure has paid off.
Yeah, 4-0 for Kawasaki Frontale last night. Pretty easy victory over Sydney FC in the Asian Champions League. It was a young squad played by Sydney FC. Half their first 11 were still having frothies in the stands after their A-League win on Sunday night. So that sort of gives you a bit of an indication of how seriously they were taking it. Let's have a listen to Steve Corriker. He spoke after the loss last night.
You know, obviously I was frustrated about the decision as well, and I was going off my head. And obviously the boys were disappointed, so, they got it wrong again. But it's all about remaining focused was the key at halftime, just to make sure they stay focused, because the prize was getting, to the end and winning. and getting that trophy, and that's what they did.
Steve Corica speaking yesterday on that VAR decision as well, still able to have a laugh before the game last night. To David Gallop now, CEO of the FFA. He spoke about the FFA bid for the 2023 Women's FIFA World Cup. Have a listen.
Yeah, well, we come out of a record-breaking Hyundai A-League Grand Final on Sunday night. Our attention now turns to the Matildas. They've started preparation for the Women's World Cup in France, and there's a lot of anticipation and excitement about what the Matildas might achieve. Matildas have been really a leading light in women's sport in the country, and to host a Women's World Cup in 2023 would literally put floodlights on the country and on the Matildas. So we move into a phase now where we'll look to engage with the federal government, the state governments across the country. We need a substantial investment to make this a successful tournament, but it could be a great thing for the sport and for the country.
David Gallop also was quizzed about having to learn from that failed men's bid where we spent multi-million dollars and only received one vote.
Yeah, well, that process has changed now. So it's now a vote of the FIFA Council, and therefore they've reformed their process. Obviously, we've been careful to look at that, and we need to stay diligent in the lead up to October when we lodge our bid, and then March when the actual vote takes place, because we certainly don't want a repeat of that.
To the NBA from yesterday, and it was a clean sweep for the Golden State Warriors.
Finds Draymond Green up top to Looney. Five to shoot. Back to Curry. Draymond Green tries a three. It's good! Draymond Green drills the three!
It was good, and the Warriors 119 to 117, running over the top of the Portland Trail Blazers after they did trail by as much as 15. Great comeback by them there. They're into another NBA Finals series. They're, I think, fifth in a row. It's been an incredible little period for this franchise. So a clean sweep for Zip. Later on today, the Milwaukee Bucks play at the Raptors. Series is currently 2-1 in favour of Milwaukee, so we'll watch that with interest from 10:30. Let's have a listen now to Steph Curry, who was sensational with a triple-double after the win.
I mean, we've been here before. We've seen everything, every experience you can imagine, so we relied on that. And again, like you said, three starters down. Everybody stepped up, played amazing minutes, and we fought to the end. Yeah, we could have said Game 5 was our game, but we saw how long that break was going to be, so we want to take advantage of it.
Steph Curry, one of the heroes of that series, as I said, the Raptors and the Bucks. Later today at 10:30, just before we get back to the AFL world, we'll check in with the NRL. Jeremy Lattimore plays for St George Illawarra. He's also on the board of the Rugby League Players Association. He spoke out yesterday about Jack DeBellin and the ban that he has had to undergo at the beginning of this season with the new NRL policy.
Yeah, look, we're very disappointed what happened with Jack. You know, we feel like the NRL's acted outside the realms of the CBA, which we agreed upon as players and clubs and the NRL. They were reactive to a lot of stuff, which wasn't good enough by players, but you know, Jack's been denied his presumption of innocence, and it's not often anywhere you see someone guilty until proven innocent. So, you know, the RLPA, we've spoken about that, and obviously I'm on the board there, and you know, I'm very proactive. You know, I want to see something done, because you don't like seeing your teammate being found guilty till proven innocent, and you know, it's a bit unfair.
Jeremy Lattimore speaking yesterday. Now to Cody Walker, he plays for South Sydney. They're flying, he's flying, and he wants to play for New South Wales.
Yeah, it'd be a dream come true. I think everyone who watches rugby league and is a fan of rugby league and that has that aspirations to play in the NRL, they want to play at the highest level. And, you know, I'm certainly no different, but, you know, individual performances don't get you there. It's what you do within a team and your job for the team that gets you into those sort of arenas. So I've just got to keep doing my job for South Sydney Rabbitohs, and those sort of things, you know, take care of themselves. You never really know until you're there, you know what I mean? Like, I can't really answer that question unless I'm in the moment, because it's another level. The people who I speak to about, you know, Origin, and I remember Renault when he played a couple of years ago, I asked him, you know, what's it like? And he goes, it's way faster than an NRL game. And it was my first year in the NRL, and I was thinking, how the hell can it be faster than, you know, an NRL game? Because I'd never been at that sort of level. So to answer your question, I don't know. But I do have confidence in the way I play that, you know, I feel like I'm ready. But as I said, I never really know unless I'm there.
Cody Walker speaking yesterday. Now to the rest of the footy news. We're going to start with Wayne Miller. Good news for the Crows. Easy chance to play this week.
No one's ever a certainty, but yeah, I'm feeling good. I'll train Thursday. Got a bit of a test, but it's feeling good. And then I'll just have to wait to see what selection panel goes like.
Let's head now to his teammate, Rory Sloat, who suggested he might be in a bit of a different role this week.
I've certainly done a bit of it in the past too, which I quite enjoy. Is going on putting yourself up against the best midfielder, and might be something to put my hand up for in the coming weeks. It's not quite tagging, I suppose. It's sort of like set yourself against the best midfielder and go at him one-on-one.
Maybe Rory Sloan will be a tagger to Luke Parker. He spoke last night on Fox Sports about where Sydney are at this year.
I don't think it's a rebuild where we believe that we have to drop down the ladder or play poor football to develop the young guys. I think it just is what it is. We're backing in the young guys. Well, we first have our leaders who we think hold really high standards, and we believe if we hold those standards, then the young guys jump on board. And unfortunately, we've only got a couple of leaders out there at the moment. So the main thing is to keep that excitement and positivity up. And once you get that general mindset and will to win from those younger boys, then you can start to tweak those little things in games. And I think that's what we've been able to do the last two weeks.
Luke Parker speaking last night. Lots to get through on The Breakfast Club. Make sure you stay tuned. Half Whitey and Sherelle will return after the 6 o'clock news. Taylor Adams from the Pies to join us in the Inner Sanctum. Steve-O with all the latest footy news from Channel 7. And David Gallop, the FFA CEO, to tell us more about that bid for the Women's FIFA World Cup in 2023. Don't forget the early mail too. Another couple of winners yesterday. That segment continues to go from strength to strength. George Osborne and Richard Lamming to do their best before 7 for us this morning. Take care, have a great day. We'll chat again tomorrow.
That was RSN 927's Breakfast Bite.